Mr. Salmon, how are you?
Good, how are you? I'm good, how are you, Mizzy?
Good. I'm looking at your eyes. They are looking for something probably that is not there.
I'm just checking if all the members are joining us so we can start. The chairperson still isn't here.
Okay.
Oh, there he's joining us now.
Afternoon, afternoon.
Good afternoon, Deputy Minister.
Afternoon, DM.
Good afternoon, DM.
Good day, Chairperson. I'm checking how many members we've got. I think we'll just give it 1 more minute for other members to join us. Okay, there's one more. Yes, Jefferson, it's 4 o'clock and we have enough members to start the meeting. I can't get hold of Eddie, so I think it's because of his power shortages. But yes, we can proceed with the meeting so long. I will just have to leave the apologies until the end until I get hold of Eddie. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, thanks very much, Mr. Adams. I will request to switch to video because I'm in the bad space of the network. Morning, afternoon, DM, afternoon, Minister, and the team of Home Affairs who have joined us, the head of the government printing works, May Alisa Fossey, and your executive. We are and members of the Portfolio Committee. Good afternoon. And welcome again to this important committee meeting that to receive a report on the annual report and the financial statements from the government printing works. We have received the AG report on the two institutions, IEC and government printing works, including the Home Affairs. We have centered our concern around the issues that are elevated by the Auditor General referred to government printing works. We think this annual report will give highlight some of the issues that the AG has impressed on, and members will fully get an opportunity to interact with the report. We welcome you again, members. I'm going to quickly run on the apologies. I'll ask Mr. Adams. I know in the morning, Mr. Matonzi has indicated the difficulties of the load shedding that will impact on the network. And all of us, we must take note to that this meeting may run on interruption as a result of the load shedding. Can I invite you, Mr. Adams, to run on the apologies? I will then also invite the minister to introduce the team and run apologies. If the apologies, then we then go to the minister introducing the report and inviting the CEO, and she will then present, or at a delegation, we receive a presentation and run comments or questions, discussion on the report, and we'll then have item number 5. We'll then work towards closing, informed by the deliberation of members of the committee and the meeting. If there's any other item that must be included on the agenda, but I will allow that, but if there's none, we'll move towards apologies, Mr. Adams. Is there any other matter, members? Yeah, there's none. Mr. Adams, can you run on the apologies?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, as I indicated, I'm unable to get hold of Eddie at the moment. So he's the one who's got all the email apologies. So if I can request if we can move that item to the end just for record purposes. And then if I can just get an indication who I must make a co-host so that I can that it can flight the GPW presentation. I've made Ms. Forsey a co-host, but in case she wants somebody else to host for her to do their presentation, they can do that. If you must just indicate to me, please, Chair.
Okay, noted. I think you will, members, is there any apology in the absence of a proper note?
Chairperson, can I be recognized,
please? Yes, Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you so much. As I have indicated earlier on that we have an issue of cable theft, we still don't have electricity like for the whole day. So I may be having some network challenges and a battery challenge, but I am locked on. If my battery runs off, then I'll be kicked out of the meeting.
Okay, noted. It's understandable, Honorable Kanyile. Any other apologies?
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Mudisem.
Ms.
Recording in progress.
Has also indicated that she's struggling to log in, but she keeps on trying due to load shedding.
Noted. The apologies noted. Any other apology?
Good afternoon, Chairperson.
Minister, I will invite you. Let me exhaust members. Members, is there any other matter? Okay. It appears that we are noting the apologies, and I think some members may have difficulties of logging in. Will indicate their attendance as the meeting goes on. Minister, can you run on the apology and introducing the delegation in the meeting? Minister?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. When I asked to speak, I was, when you call for apologies, I wanted to give one of my own related to load shedding because I'm here in Cape Town. I'm not at the usual place where I used to be, where there's a generator. Here where I am, there is none. I don't know what's going to happen. It looks like we might be caught up with load shedding. I'm just appealing, if possible, because of this problem. If we can run the meeting faster than the times which you put there, if it pleases the chairperson, because it's not for me to choose, but I'm just making it as a proposal. Thank you. Chairperson, I've got with me the Director General of the Department of Home Affairs, Mr. Tommy Makwade, who is obviously in supportive capacity because this meeting is for government printing works. The CEO is here, Ms. Alina Fossey. I will allow her to introduce a team because from Home Affairs, it's only Mr. Makwade as the DG. Alina, can you take over, please?
Thank you, Ms. Alina Fossey.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, Honorable Chairperson, esteemed members, colleagues, good afternoon. I am connected together with all the ExCom members. I've introduced them earlier, but I'm going to do it again for the purpose of this meeting. Mr. Ian van der Merwe is our new CFO, who's recently joined us. Ms. Michelle Modise, GM HR, Mr. Sitlan Gubani, Acting GM Operations, Mr. Anele Apleni, the CIO, Ms. Constance Shibambo, who is our Director Internal Audit. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to run within that framework of time, given the constraint we're facing as the country around the load shedding. Minister, I'm going to allow you to open and introduce, and CEO Ms. Fossey, run on the presentation, then invite members to make comment. We'll run at least to make sure that we satisfy all the issues that must be raised and deliberation from members. Minister?
Thank you very much, Chair. Once more, good afternoon, honorable members and colleagues. I nearly said compliments because I'm feeling like we're starting a new year because I never saw you for a very long time. So maybe it seems to be suitable to say compliments to you in this new era. Chairperson, we are going to present to you the annual performance plan 2019-2020. And as the CEO will show that we have achieved 18 targets out of 5 in a total of 23 targets. The 5 targets which we did not achieve, almost all of them have got something to do with the financial situation at the GPW. And I'm sure the CEO will elaborate. All I can say is that this issue that happened, that led to the state of finances being what they are. I've put up a committee, if you remember, I would like to remind you again, which was chaired by Advocate Mujangu Kumbi, the former advisor of President Thabo Mbeki. She has since been called by the president to be part of a team which must advise the president about security of the country after the July uprisings, which you all know about. She still remain a member of the committee. The chairperson of the committee now is Mr. Papati Malavi, who himself is a lawyer, a former magistrate, and who has got experience on legal matters. Chairperson, I'm waiting for the report of that committee, but I can assure you, because I'm in discussion with that committee every day, there are people who are going to have to account on this issue that happened about the loss of data at GPW. The story that it just happened accidentally without anybody watching, I am not buying it, I can assure you. But be that as it may, when the report comes, maybe it will prove me wrong or prove further what actually happened. But from the initial information at my disposal, remember, I even approached the president. I believe there's something that is happening there which ought not to have happened in a public service. So I just want to emphasize that. And it's one of the areas that led to the GPW getting the address audit, which they got from the Auditor General. The other two are the issue of buildings. And the CEO is going to elaborate. We are having problems with a law called GIAMA, which gives public works ownership of all the buildings in the country. And when you need to do something which public works is not necessarily happy about, you get lots and lots of problems. Legal problems all the way, which also involves treasury. As I'm speaking now, we have to go to treasury, beg them. So we have got treasury and public works. The CEO will report to you what actually is happening there. We are also experiencing that at the borders, the ports of entry. Members of the committee will remember you were extremely unhappy when you went to Libombo border post in January and found unclean toilets, etc. Because the Department of Public Works has not renewed the contract with about 25 service providers. Even now, I'm still being phoned by the neighboring countries because time and again, a border will close because there's no water. We are battling with Public Works. I've written to the minister about exempting us from certain issues of GIAMA. They will tell us the law doesn't agree. We have locked horns about that. And the GPW is having the same problem. I'm emphasizing this, chairperson, because GPW needed to complete this building, which was going to cost 2.1 billion rand. And the 2.1 billion rand has been there for 3 years. And that amount of money was supposed to build a new factory, which will allow GPW to expand its services. And expanding the services is also to buy new machinery, which they can't buy because there's no space. Some of the machinery they've already bought, that they are struggling where to store them because this building is not going up. And that's why we have involved the treasury. I'm just praying that the treasury plays ball so that we move, because the Development Bank of South Africa is ready. They are ready any minute to help us in this building. We are just stopped by this legality. and that's one of the areas where there's no achievement. Let me stop there and allow the CEO to take us through this process and explain these issues about buildings and the audit. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. The CEO will take us on your report, and I think in the process, the minister, the issues that the minister highlighted, you will brief the committee. CEO.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, Honorable Chairperson, and esteemed members, colleagues. I'm going to take the committee through the report. If we could move to the next slide. I'm not sure if I could take control of the presentation, Secretariat, so that I can move faster. If I can be given powers to navigate.
Adams, Mr. Adams, can you assist? Adam, are you sorted, CEO?
Not yet, Chairperson. If he could Adam? Give me the powers.
Okay, I think you are sorted now.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. You can proceed, CEO.
I don't see where I should take control. Or can I just share from my side?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm sure you're a co-host, so you'll be able to navigate around.
Okay. Quickly. Secretary, please advise if you could see it. So that I can...
Yes, ma'am, we can see.
All right. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, Honorable Chairperson, esteemed members, colleagues.
But if you may, slideshow, Alina, slideshow, please.
No, why, colleagues, I don't think we're disrupting the CEO. What is the required now?
No, she has done it, Chairperson. Thank you very much. Okay. She has done it. Slide.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. If I proceed, I'm going to share the entire presentation with the committee. However, I'm going to, Chairperson, through your indulgence, request that I be joined by the Director Internal Audit as well as the CFO later on to present the other two parts of my report. I'm going to go through it quickly as per the request from the minister, and just start with the executive summary. We have made noticeable progress in this year under review, notwithstanding the challenges with which we have faced as an organization. We continue to expand our footprint into the SADC region to the effect that we have seen 10 countries during this reporting period, and more efforts have been placed to make sure that we have a dual focus on the local customers, within RSA being the departments across the three spheres of government. Despite the economic economic times which were challenging, we have actually celebrated some revenue increase from 1.4 billion in 2018-19 to 1.6 billion in 2019-20. We have therefore, as per the Treasury regulations, declared our surplus in accordance with our founding legislation, which is the Public Service Act, and a total of 200 million was then retained by National Treasury as our stakeholder contribution to the National Revenue Fund. As Minister has already indicated, we have a total of 23 performance targets which we have set for ourselves for this year, and then out of those 18 were achieved, demonstrating a 78% achievement, five of which were not achieved, and I will talk to that later. We had experienced a few challenges with the auditing process, as we indicated earlier, however, we have managed to engage with all the relevant stakeholders within AGSA and our oversight entities being the RISC as well as the audit committees. And we have really reached some amicable decisions to make sure that we move together and we improve on that relationship, because it is in the greater good of the organization. but I think the status will be covered later on in the sections. We couldn't make headway on the completion of our capital projects due to some dependencies that we've had, and I will actually talk to that at a later stage. I'm going to skip the mandate of GPW, because I want to believe it will just be a reminder. The outcomes that we have, as we have indicated there, and I'm not going to go through them in detail, our mission, vision, as well as our values, I will also just skip that and go straight into our performance information. As we have indicated, though, that's the status as it is appearing. We have 5 targets which were not achieved, and perhaps I need to talk a bit to those targets. The 99.5% system availability, we had set ourselves this target and we were not able to achieve it due to the challenges that we've had in our ICT environment because we kept on having system downtime for various reasons that are indicated in our report. And as a result, that target was not achieved. However, I need to indicate that that experience has actually helped us to begin a process of having generators in place. The CFOs, the CIO, as well as the acting GM operations have been engaging so that we test the capacity of the different generators, the options that we have, so that we can at least be able to have effective that runs despite the ESCOM related challenges on load shedding and so forth, and continue to sustain our operations even during those periods. The one on the 100% building not being completed, I need to also indicate, like Vanessa has already started, that we've had a few challenges. And indeed, it is true that when we look into the issue of the master plan, there were dependencies, key dependencies that we had to look into. And perhaps I will talk to this when I get to that section, as well as the master plan and the structure. We decided to show the cumulative performance in terms of how GPW has been performing over the years. As you can see, honorable members, we have different targets, set of targets, and the number of targets per financial year. But what happens from the 2016-17 financial year, we had strategic planning sessions where we repositioned ourselves and looked into the targets with high impact and value. And you will see that the downsloping of the targets so that we have much more targets that engagement. So we have decided to then refocus ourselves and then chose the targets with high impact and value in that regard. In the year under review, we have a total of 23 targets, which represents 78%. I'm going to take members through the reasons for not achieving. We've mentioned the 100% security vulnerabilities as well as the system availability, so I won't go into that. I just need to talk to the issue of the service offerings that ICT has given us. 80% of that has been achieved, and indeed we celebrate some of the gains because we took a conscious decision to modernize some of the GPW environments, and we have seen the modernization plan being implemented within GPW. Now we can be able to sign documents offline, and we are able to actually have meetings offline, and there are assistive labor devices that have been allocated to members. In terms of internal audit, we have the internal audit plan that has been approved by the audit committee, and 100% of that has been implemented. In the operations and production space, we had all the targets achieved in a form of us producing the right quality and quantity of documents in the form of IDs to Home Affairs, as well as passports or travel documents. We have been printing examinations for specific provinces in line with their specifications, and we are glad to announce that 825,000 odd papers have also been delivered in line with their specifications. And we continue to print the gazettes for the year under review. 100% of the gazettes which were requested of us have been delivered accordingly. And we achieved 93% of the high security certificates that were supposed to have been delivered. And in this instance, we overachieved that by making sure that at least a total of 98.6% of certificates have been achieved. However, I just need to indicate one issue that despite the celebrating the achievement, we actually saw a total of 191,791 defects reported in terms of the certificates which were produced. And that got us a bit worried. We then had to look into what were the actual causes, what actually led to that. We looked into the implications to the organization, because we've got a percentage rate in terms of our standards of the spoilage, which we can tolerate within the organization. And we actually found that we were within the limits of the spoilage in line with the industry norm in that regard. However, measures have been put in place to make sure that we minimize the amount of waste or spoilage in that regard to make sure that quality management is actually attained. In terms of strategic management, this is the branch that helps us to engage customers inside and outside the borders of the Republic. And we have engaged a total of 29 local customers, and these are government departments as well as their entities. And we have reports emanating from these entities that helps us to sharpen our source in terms of knowing what they want, expectations, what is it that they want to from us so that we can serve them differently and improve on the lead time. In the SADC region, the integrated marketing and communication strategy actually enables us to go into SADC, and we have engaged 10 customers for this year under review. However, we have a strategic intent of making sure that we have more of those that we engage come and print with us. So we've used various mechanisms like going to the embassies, high commissioner's office, as well as doing exhibitions. And they've also come to GPW to see our resources in terms of the factory and products that we produce there. We have benchmarked ourselves against the South African banknote, as well as the reserve banks in terms of the security models that we want to have, the state-of-the-art security features. And we are glad to announce that we have a clear plan that we have started, and we are implementing that model within GPW. Further to that, we've got 4 security policies and procedures which have been achieved. When I look at business continuity, indeed, for the year under review, we had the nuts and bolts put in place, because we've got the strategy, the plans, as well as the implementation plans that we have developed to ensure that despite the catastrophe, the incidents, as well as the disasters that we may have, GPW continues to operate. However, we have found ourselves wanting indeed in the subsequent periods, which required us to go back and look at the interlinkages between the business continuity management strategy as well as the DR, the ICT DR plan, so that those two are aligned to ensure that ICT becomes a key enabler when we are down, just to make sure that the alignment between our overall business continuity strategy as well as the ICT plan are actually in a composite document and we can implement it together. We continue to do so to make sure that we are enabled by ICT to exist into the future by supporting that environment as much as we can through our procurement processes to enhance the databases, to enhance the backup processes, as well as the various systems that we need to sustain our operations. We have gone through an exercise of engaging the risk and audit committee on our strategic risk registers, as well as the operational ones. And we then agreed on the strategic risks, the top 6 ones, and we have been implementing and monitoring them, and they've been holding us accountable on the performance against those, particularly on the implementation of the mitigation plans. In the finance environment, I need to indicate that the challenge that we've had, particularly with regards to the audit, was because we lost data. I've indicated in the earlier meeting that we've experienced a power surge on the 4th of February, and that power surge has actually resulted in the loss of critical finance data that we would have liked to have to facilitate the auditing process. We are in the process of recovering the data, and you will see a project plan that will be following. I think the CFO will present on that to enable us to actually recover the data that was lost in the previous financial year since October 2019 to date, but at the same time, look forward in terms of saving this current financial year by capturing all the data from February 2021. So that we are enabled to tie to table credible financial statements by end of May 2022. So, and I need to also indicate that know, the support that we're getting from AGSA has been quite impressive, because Ms. Moresimoke, when I called upon her to say, let us start now to collaborate, instead of us to having to wait until the end for you to come through and assist us, she was willing and she came on board to say, even if they're not physically auditing GPW, they will then form part of the journey for us to actually recover our data. And in line with the correct standards, then they will say on asset registers, this is how you're supposed to look like. On the TL, on the TB, this is how you're on the GL and the TB, this is how you're supposed to look like. So that when we are done with the process, they shouldn't start afresh. They should have been part of the journey, and it will facilitate the auditing process. I've really engaged the BE as well as the DBEs, and they've enlisted their support in this regard. In terms of the two buildings, which is the headquarters as well as the master plan, on the headquarters, we had a challenge. There's a bridge that's supposed to move from the new headquarters to join the pavilion, which is the current building. And we are next to this zone, which is a museum. And the construction of that bridge has given us a challenge, because you're not in terms of the bylaws, you're not supposed to cause a nuisance around the heritage site. And this zone is just outside of the Fisagi building. Because of that, we couldn't finalize all the plans in time. And we have then engaged Infrastructure SA under Dr. Sutara Mokhop to actually help us engage City of Tshwane to have that plan approved. And that we need the right permission to be able to close the road when we finalize the construction of that bridge, because it's next to the heritage site. But internally, we're also looking at a deviation to engage DBSA to help us with both projects instead of just on the master plan. On the construction of the master plan, honorable members may realize that this is the second year when we have been promising that we will finalize the master plan, but we haven't actually done so. This is because of the huge dependencies that we have had. The first dependency being that as a government entity, our buildings are also subjected to the same laws of GIAMA, as the minister has already indicated, by GPWI, and we had to actually write GPWI to request permission to opt out of GIAMA so that we can be able to utilize the implementing agent in the form of DBSA to help us shorten the turnaround times in terms of finalizing this project. You know, previously we had a five-year plan. We could have actually walked into the master plan in 2021. But due to the delays we experienced with public works, we still don't have a building. There's still grass on the floor. And because of that, we then decided to go and ask for an exemption, because the plan that they had submitted to us still indicated another 5 to 6 year plan for them to finalize the building. And we were not really prepared to wait for 12 years in totality, if you count from the previous turnaround time, to have the master plan building finalized. And we were punished. We learned some good lessons to say you can't procure the machines and put them in the boxes, and the warranty expires, so as they're in the boxes, and then you can't have the building constructed. So in line with our procurement plan, we then dovetailed our efforts to say, as we try to engage DPWI, we want to at least shorten the turnaround time, and we approach the DBSA, and the DBSA is more than willing. They actually put together a project plan, and there will be available project management capacity and capability to come and manage the project on site, because in GPW, we don't have that capacity. So they are coming in handy with that type of capacity. The letters were written to DPWI acting DG. He responded. We again responded together with the DG of Home Affairs and raised some concerns on that, because they wanted to actually feed the project to DBSA, but still wanted total control of the project. And we didn't understand that setup. Hence, we had to go back and say, can we clarify it? And luckily, as of this week, we can happily say that the legal issues that we were battling with to say PFMA doesn't allow us to interact government to government without having to go on a competitive bidding process have been resolved, because the MOU is about to be finalized between National Treasury and DPWI, after which, and I'm told it should be by the end of this week, after which they will then assign the project to the DBSA, and the letter will then be sent to them as an implementing agent so that they can assist us in that regard. So that will be a huge gain for GPW, because the expansion of our factory would allow us to actually go into Africa and compete at the right level, having to look into the digital project that we'd like to produce going forward, as we have already set our foot in the market. So it's important that I just mentioned that in terms of the finance targets, one for the qualified audit opinion has not been achieved. And the reality is that there are specific areas that we have not been found favorable on, and that resulted in the disclaimer of the opinion. Despite the escalations that we've had, we have then agreed with AGSA in our debriefing session that we will move forward. We clarified the areas of concern, and we agreed to actually strengthen our relationship. And we have taken on board all the findings that they have said to us. We actually have incorporated the post-audit action plan items from the previous financial years to the one that they gave to us in the management report. And we have now one audit matrix. And in that audit matrix, we are working towards resolving all the issues that AG has raised with us. And we are actually happy to announce that we are making good progress in that regard. In terms of the capital working ratio, we have achieved the target because as opposed to three, we have achieved 10.08 capital ratio. The net profit margins for the year under review, I've already indicated earlier that there's an increase in the profit margins. So we've witnessed 33.87 net profit margin in that regard. I've already elaborated on this too, so I'm not going to go into the details. In HR, we have one target that has not been achieved, and this relates to the organizational structure. Again, this is not a new target that we are reporting on. We have seen efforts before to finalize the structure, and it wasn't achieved timely. We are happy to report that despite the fact that in this year under review, we couldn't finalize it, we managed to finalize it and submitted it to the minister for approval, and then it has now gone to the DPSA so that they can concur and then we can implement the structure. We actually had to consult with quite a number of stakeholders, including the DPSA itself, to get to where we are at now. Hence, we had to then wait until the entire process is finalized. In terms of the vacancy rate, we have managed to fill the 482 positions, or 87% of the posts that we have wanted to achieve. In terms of the total workforce, I need to apologize for that error there. We have actually exceeded the target by making sure that 50% of the total workforce has actually been trained, but GMHR has more details in terms of the training that has been achieved. I just need to preface the next presentation by the Chief Audit Executive, Ms. Constance Chibambo. Because through you, Chairperson, I'm going to ask her to talk to the audit matters as our director internal audit, and then thereafter I will ask the CFO to present the financials. Just to preface the discussion on the audit matters, I just need to indicate that despite all the challenges that we've had, we can safely still say GPW is a going concern, and we despite all the challenges that we have experienced, there's no evidence of malfeasance thus far. We do have challenges that indeed the review panel that the minister has appointed will point us to so that we can be able to resolve them and come up with plans to intervene accordingly. We realize that the challenge that GPW has, even with the previous audit, we needed to strengthen our internal controls, and that's where AG pointed us more than anything else. So we have introduced the Internal Controls Committee, which was chaired by myself, but has since delegated to the CFO when he arrived, to make sure that all the internal control matters are looked at. We test our mitigating plans, the strategies, whether we are being effective or not, and we monitor our performance continuously. We have expo every Thursday since the lockdown last year, just to make sure that we have a finger on the pulse on the overall performance of the organization. And the objective really is to move towards a lean audit outcome. And what a way to do it than to collaborate better with AGSA so that they can be able to help us. So the post-audit action plan is available, Director Internal Audit. She will talk to that. She has helped us to actually consolidate both the 2019-20 and 2021 plans, including the repeat findings from the past. And that has been presented to EXCO already. But what we have done, we have asked her to break it down into branches, such that each branch head must know that they are responsible and accountable for all the audit findings in their respective areas. And it is very clear that there is progressive discipline in this regard. They are fully aware that the lack of resolution of the findings will result in disciplinary action being taken against all of them. And the reality is that when we give you an audit report or audit matrix with 10 audit findings, you take that as 100%, but you need to work it down to zero. So the reality is that although she will indicate that by the end of the financial year, we're targeting 85% of those, the target is actually 100% to make sure that we don't have any audit findings and we can start on a clean slate when we are audited next. So it is important that we mention that. She is actually helping us with the audit internally as well, because previously one of the members in the portfolio committee has asked us the value of internal audit. When we are being audited by AGSA, they identify items that internal audit should have actually identified and assisted us with that. And based on that recommendation, we took it to heart, and they are actually having a clear plan of auditing us in different areas. The reports are presented to EXCO, and we make sure that all the mitigating plans are in place and audit findings are resolved. So it is important that I mention that, and it has helped us to manage the repeat findings to make sure that they don't recur. Chair, through you, let me hand over to the Director Internal Audit to present the issue, the item on audit matters, and then after that, the CFO will take over on the finance matters. Thanks, through you.
Thank you. Yes, Director Audit, you can proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Honorable Minister. Chairperson, good afternoon. And Honorable Members, good afternoon. Colleagues, afternoon. CEO, can we move then through to the next slide? Okay. In terms of our audit opinion, in the previous two financial years, our audit opinion has been qualified for the year 2018 and 2019, which is what has been obtained by GPW. Then subsequent to that, in the previous year that has been audited by AG, 2019-2020, we have since obtained a disclaimer opinion in that regard. And the basis of that disclaimer was for the following 12 areas, which actually prompted that we were sitting with the disclaimer. The issues were actually raised with the preparation of the financial statements. There were issues that were identified from property, plant and equipment, trade and other receivables, deferred income, trade and other payables, inventories, provisions, contingencies, revenue, cost of sales, statement of cash flow, as well as irregular expenditure. So those are mainly the 12 areas that actually gave rise to a disclaimer opinion for the 2019-2020 audited period. As a result of that, we have developed an audit matrix, as CEO has alluded. We have since developed that audit matrix so that we can be able to capture all the audit findings, all the issues that have been raised both by internal audit as well as AG in that regard. So in that database, that's why we're using that tool as a monitoring tool to monitor the progress of implementing all the mitigation plans as well as any further control measures and action plans that management is actually implementing and putting in place in that regard. So how we are going to resolve on all these audit findings? Management is actually continuously enforcing those internal controls in order to address all those audit gaps identified and recorded in the audit matrix. We do a regular reporting to EXCO as internal audit on the progress that management is making to in actually addressing these findings. To date, up until now, in terms of those findings captured in the audit matrix, 50% of those findings has actually been resolved by management at this point in time. The two areas that are mainly of concern was the ICT as well as the financial services branches. Those are the two branches where a significant volume of findings are still sitting in the audit matrix and still need to be attended to and addressed by management in that regard. There has been interventions since that has been put in place in other to support management from our side as internal audit. We're supporting management by giving advice and also validating the information in terms of those management action plans and how best they can address the audit findings in that regard. As CEO has indicated, management is targeting is actually targeting that by end of the financial year, from that audit metrics database, at least 85% of those audit findings will be resolved in that regard. However, we still aim for the 100% as has been indicated, but at least 85% we can validate and give assurance that it has been addressed by management. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, CEO. Is there any other matter you need to proceed on?
Chairperson, through you, if we can allow the CFO to take us through the next section.
Yes, CFO, thank you. Right. And welcome to the... congratulations and welcome to the team. Thank you.
Right, thank you. Thank you, Chair. And good afternoon to the Minister, DM, and members. I will look at the statement of financial position or the balance sheet. And we can take the next slide, please. All right. Jay, I'm going to run through the points on this slide and just address very briefly the lines that you see there. The first one is our non-current assets, of which property, plant, and equipment is the first item. You will see that there was a reduction in the balance of that line item, and essentially that's because of the depreciation associated with property, plant, and equipment, and the fact that between the 1819 and 1920 financial year, we did not have any major additions within the asset or the non-current asset line. The inventories, and that goes both for the property, plant, and equipment as well as the intangible assets. You can see, in fact, the intangible assets have quite a big reduction because of the depreciations involved. On the inventories we value at first in, first out, and because this was the first year that the GPW looked or applied the IFRS standards, it also affected the way that we did the valuation of the inventories, and that's why there was a slight increase in that. The trade and receivables essentially comes from our debtors and our income receivable, and also affects our debtor age analysis, which has now become extremely difficult with the data loss. But this trade and receivables mainly reflect the government departments that still owe the GPW funds or money, and we haven't really discounted any other customers in this, although it's a very small amount. I think the big item on this under the assets is the cash and cash equivalents. There was an increase of on about 200 million on this. And essentially, this is a function or a reflection of the fact that our master plan wasn't totally implemented, and that we've retained quite a bit of cash in this respect, which obviously would also then, as you will see later on when we do the capital and liabilities, also affect your retained earnings as a liability. The capital fund essentially is what we refer to in accounting as our startup capital, if you like. That amount stays more or less consistent over the period, and if there's any major changes, that would be as a result of an accounting policy move, but in this case, a very small change. Retained earnings, as I said, relates directly also to our cash and cash equivalents. Around about 200 million rand was the increase, and that's the earnings that have been retained, although you will see when I discuss the cash flow statement that we have released some funds back to the National Treasury. On the lease liabilities, let me first touch on the deferred income. So the funds received from our revenue and our retained earnings, we kept it for the capital expansion, and we moved that into deferred income, and that's why it's reflected as a deferred income. But essentially, this is some of the funds that we've made available or put aside for our capital expansion. The lease liabilities, you will see in the 18-19 financial year, both on the lease liabilities for non-current liabilities as well as current liabilities, 18-19 year, there was no entry on this account, but in the 19-20, there was accounts, or there was an increase in the account. And basically, that was based on the IFRS standard 16. Let's go back. On the IFRS 16, that was introduced for the first time, and that meant that the GBW had to reflect the lease amounts, and mainly on our machines, on our forklifts, and on our properties. And you also see that later on, when we do the cash flow statement, that it affects the finance cost amount on the income as well as on the cash flow statement. So this is a result of our move to use IFRS as a standard instead of the modified cash standards on a global basis. The trade and other payables show a decrease, and this essentially reflects our accruals, or what we owe to suppliers. You can see that there was a substantial reduction of about 80 million on this account, and this suggests that we are paying our creditors at a better rate, and that we honoring our liability towards our suppliers. The provisions mainly is for bad debts and impairment of debtors, and this is based on a management determination that is done annually. We can do the next slide. The statement of profit and loss is what we normally refer to as an income statement. You will see that there was an increase of revenue of about 200 million. That number of 18-19 was 1.5 million compared to a 1.6 billion, billion in the 1920 financial year. Although the business from our main customer, the Home Affairs, stayed consistent, there was a significant increase in a contract from the South African Police Services for the provision of paper, and about 1.2 million boxes was supplied to this to the SAPS. So the cost of sales, if you compare the ratio of cost of sales in 1890 to 1920 as a percentage of revenue, you will see that in the 1819 we had a 48% cost of sales as a ratio to revenue. And that's jumped significantly to 57% in the 1920 financial year. And I need to mention this because since 2017, the GPW effectively did not have any tariff increases and did not pass any tariff increase to its customers. And in fact, in the current financial year and over the coming MTF, we have decided, or we have looked at some numbers, and we even able to assist the Home Affairs to some extent, and even pass on new or some more discounts, if you like, to them. And that discounts is going to be about 10% and 8% respectively on the smart IDs and the passports. And I think, yeah, that's in line with the negotiations we had with DHA to assist them also with the reduction of their budgets. Unfortunately, we're not able to surrender any retained funds to the Home Affairs as it stands legally. We have to do it through the National the Revenue Fund and National Treasury. But this is one way of which we can pass on some of the savings. But having said that, the labor costs or the input costs actually do go up. And this is what you're seeing here. So our labor materials and goods and services will increase annually. And the fact that you will see in the report, in the annual report, that our gross profits and net profits is coming down, this is a direct result of that we haven't had any tariff increases, but that we've had significant increases in labor material and the rest of it. Just to give you an idea, in that financial year, we had raw material increases of 118 million, salaries of 25 million, and maintenance of about 9 million. And those were just the big ticket items. If you look at the next line, you will see there's a loss of foreign exchange. No, let's go back again now. A loss on foreign exchange, 21 million versus the 4 million in this year. It came down mainly because UNESCO addressed the principle. So when there's a loss of foreign exchange or there's foreign exchange fluctuations that go against you, then this becomes a loss in terms of foreign on foreign exchange. At the moment, GPW would not hedge any of this, and this is probably something that we need to address within our accounting policies. But it came down that we buy or we purchase blank ID cards and our machine maintenance to national suppliers. And because we didn't have a major addition of capital between these two financial years, then that foreign exchange loss became smaller. But I think we will always have that risk going forward. Our interest received is just based on our positive bank balances over the period, and also the bank costs get set off against that. The finance costs relates directly to the lease costs that we had, and that we had to report this separately in terms of IFRS Standard 16. And as I said, it relates to the machines, the forklifts, and our property leases. The gains on property revaluation of about five million. Again, it's an issue of IFRS standard and accounting policy, and this relates directly to our revaluation of the asset property. That essentially takes care of the income statement. Next slide, please. Chair, I'm not going to spend too much time on this slide. This is just the cash flows from our operating activities, from our investing activities. But I think the one line that I would like to just look at or just refer you to is the one that says the transfer of surplus to National Treasury. You will see that in the 18-19 year, that was 300 million. And in the 19-20 financial year, that was 200 million. Now, we have to annually request or first declare the retained earnings and then request Treasury to retain that retained that earning or the profits, and then get a response from them. So in these two financial years, after declaring the retained earnings and requesting it to keep it, there was some discussion with National Treasury, and it was agreed that the GBW would release 300 million in 18-19 and 200 million in 19-20, and National Treasury would then obviously assist or use that to assist other government pressures that might exist. The next slide. Okay, so we're looking at this rebuilding of the financial data, and we've put in the project plan for you, but I'm not going to discuss it in too much detail, just to show you what we're doing. But we did experience this power surge of the 4th of February. And that resulted in a critical loss of our financial data. There was no success in retrieving that data, which is very unfortunate. Even if we could retrieve a part of it, we would have been able to rebuild some of the financial data. We embarked on an initial project plan where we were meant to capture all data from February 2021, the time that it was that the crash occurred. Up to the current period, and also then as we go along update the current year or in-year movements. And now this also proved very difficult because we rely essentially or very, very, quite a lot on the input from our operations in terms of inventory and the work in progress. So we've actually moved quite a bit in the last 3 months on this matter. And there has been capturing done outside of the system, and it has to be a script has to be written to bring it into the AX system. The difficulty we're going to have here is going to be the quality control and the quality checking of the data. And obviously after that, the completeness and accuracy thereof. We'll have to deal with it as we move along. The second phase of the project came about after we had a very very good and robust session with our audit committee, and we agreed with them that when you do have a disclaimer, it's impossible just to do a part of the captioning. And we actually have to go back as far as 16 October 2019 to 31 January to pick up that slack of the missing data. Now that puts another spin on the on our ability to put out financials as we'd like to do by May 2022. And we're experiencing some difficulty with this, especially, you know, on the availability of documentations. But I will share with you some of the challenges when I look at the project plan. So our target is to present two sets of financials. Just to go back again now. Two sets of financials by the 31st of May for audit by the 22nd of by May 2022. And let me not put the committee under any misrepresent the issues that this is definitely a stretch target. To deal with a disclaimer already is an issue. Now, if you on top of that lose substantial data, financial data, that just kind of quadruples your challenges going forward. But we definitely are working flat out to see how we can rescue this. And we will at least put out one set of financials for audit, and then deal with the audit matters as they do occur. I mentioned the issue of the quality assurances of data, and in order for the AG to be able to test the validity, completeness, and accuracy of that. So, Chair, the next couple of slides would speak to the project plan. Can I take the next slide, please? And this is the first phase. You can see that we've broken it up into quite a number of tasks. I'm just going to touch on a couple. So the first one was the EGZ information. Fortunately, we've been able to appoint that service provider. Just to say that this document gets updated daily and gets reviewed daily at a war room session that we have. So this position was as at last week. When we did the support, we've done some reloading of the stock items, which is still in progress. The asset register has been loaded, although it hasn't been tested through an audit process. We've asked the internal auditors to do a completeness and accuracy test on that. The debtors balances is extremely important to us because this relates to our ability to generate revenue and to make sure that all revenue due to us gets deposited or we get it from our customers. You can take the next slide. Again, a number of tasks that have been highlighted there, mostly on the opening of each month. So we feel we're ready to capture or to upload, we open a month, and we have now recently opened up November 2021 for capturing. And we hope that, with the additional resources that we've pushed into operations, that the capturing would be quicker. And we're actually employing some more resources, especially on the phase two of the project. Can take the next one. Chair, so this phase two of the project plan is a more recent one. As I said, we developed this to the latter part of October. And I'm just going to talk to the units. The first one obviously is the costing. We have to, the costing is where all the time and material issues get and operations and inventories, where all those things get captured, which then eventually gets into our cost of sales, and that's quite important for us to review and to make sure that our ratios in terms of profits are applicable and are quite accurate. The debtors is also dependent on this, and this goes directly towards our billing, ability to bill and ensure that we account for all the revenue that is there. you will see that the initial plan spoke about 2 months, 12 months, 10 months, and so on. And obviously the question would be, if that's the picture, then you would never be able to reach your stretch target of financials by May 2022. And we agree to that. We have actually reduced some of this, these durations. But we have to monitor it, you know, on a weekly basis, at least, as I said, through our war room process. Next slide, please. Yeah, and then at the back end would come our general ledger, our assets, and especially on the asset, it goes towards the capturing of the new additions, the updating, the disposals, and also the fair valuation thereof. The general ledger needs quite a bit of work after everything has gone into the system to make sure of the accuracy. It's where we do have to do all the journals and review what operations and inventory and debtors, et cetera, has done. On the procurement, we have agreed that there's a need to recapture many of our purchase orders again. And we have a workaround towards that, and that period has actually come down significantly. But there is some captioning that has to be done on that. Next slide, please. Right, and then the last part of it is our demand planning, our creditors, our stock counts, and our publications. Again, these are issues that happen after most of the captioning has been done in inventory. I mean, stock counts we have to do at least quarterly. We obviously haven't done that. And you know, when we're in a position to have stock balances or inventory balances, then we'll have to do the stock counts properly. And the same goes for our creditors. We have to be sure that we've actually paid our creditors properly. We have to prepare our accruals. And that's quite a huge task as well, especially if our systems are down. We have mitigated it with some manual processes, but obviously that is not an ideal position. Next slide. So, Chair, these are just a couple of bullet recommendations, if you like, that we picked up in the last few months. We have developed a supply chain plan to assist ICT and operations in their critical areas. In particular on the EcoZet and ERP systems. As I said, we've developed specifications. That's gone out. We have got a deviation now from Treasury, and we're working closely with a service provider on this one. The one thing that has been picked up quite strongly by the Ministerial Review Committee was the issue of contract management and the focus on long-term contracts and suppliers' performance. And also, the issue of, we call it, there's a thing called greenfield contracts, and I'd like to call it sole supplier. GBW has quite a number of sole suppliers, but we have to regularize that matter or that principle with the National Treasury, and we're busy with that. Now, the accounting standards, particularly as been very challenging. IFRS is not an easy standard to apply. I'm of the opinion that it put our audit process in quite a bit of jeopardy. GBW is a government component. It's not a state-owned entity. And we have engaged the Office of the Accountant General in this regard. And we have recently, in the last week, received a departure from the Accountant General that we can apply dual accounting both to the 2020-21 financial year as well as the 2021-22 financial year. And this would just make our reporting so much simpler. It does seem that the GBW was hopeful that they would move into a state-owned entity position, and that's why they geared themselves through IFRS for that process as a manufacturing concern. Our order readiness, I think, as the CIO said, is a major concern. We've had engagement with the AG. They've given us, let me call it pointers, which we've adopted. The completeness and the accuracy of both the finance and performance data is going to be crucial. And our project plan is an attempt to address that. I want to address the issue of the facilities management and especially the master plan. Chair, unfortunately, our capacity in this space you know, on top of all the other matters of DPW and EBSA and Treasury, is just that that the capacity has been very low in this respect. We have now this Sunday past put out an interview, advert for a facility manager, and that facility manager really has to be up to speed with the construction industry development board requirements of the JBCC contracting, and be able to manage our contractors. You know, if we leave this in the hands of a caretaker, I'm afraid that this is going to be a stretch for us. We can deal with the matters pertaining to DPW and National Treasury quite easily, I think. But we do need to have a dedicated facility manager who understands these aspects, and help adverts on the weekend would hopefully address this matter. Next slide, please. The technical capacity in the branch, especially financial services, I think has to be enhanced. The one process we embarked on is the approved organizational structure. Fortunately, I've been able to make an input into this structure, which I think will take us forward. But there is a definite interim need for strong technical capacity. And we will put something in place before the middle of December in terms of recruitment. The idea is to recruit capable chartered accountants to come and assess and assist the GPW in this process. You know, with respect to the AG matters, if the GPW is not strong technically to push back on certain issues, then it's difficult. You know, the AG opinion will stand. And in certain instances, we need to engage the AG on a stronger technical front. The plan to table two sets of annual financial statements is definitely still there. As I said, it's going to be a stretch target, and no doubt. But we will at least attempt that. And what we can't do, we will declare upfront quite early enough. The ICT systems, you know, hasn't really been supporting our business as it should. We have been engaging CETA to procure an ERP system that would serve as a support to all operations, including the e-gazette. That will be done, and we've made progress on that. And then, Chair, the last bullet from my side is just to say that we have to continue to strengthen our relationships with National Treasury, the AGSA, and our governance structures like our Audit and Risk Committees and the Home Affairs, and where, you know, possible, enlist their support. But I think the intention here is that as management, we need to build confidence with these structures or with these stakeholders, so that we can take this component forward. Yeah, I think I've covered what I need to cover.
Thank you, CFO. CEO, is there any other matter?
Yes. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Just to echo the last bullet there, we have actually collaborated with our oversight entities. We have been doing that risk as well as audit committee. And together with the audit committee, the CFO and members of EXCO, we will be further engaging, like Mr. Rabonda said in the earlier meeting, we will be engaging AGSA following the debriefing session that we've had to strengthen our relationship going forward so that we strengthen GPS.
Recording in progress.
Honorable Lopata.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me start by, like I did in the morning, commend the GPW for their positive audit outcome. Chair, my first question would be that looking at the nature of the work done by GPW, have they considered having any backup system which will mitigate during the time of load shedding so that their work and their performance is not affected. And previously, GPW reported that construction of a headquarters would commence during the term 2020. So if the construction already commenced, be able to correct the asset register of property, plant and equipment since the last audit, as you previously could not recall, as they previously could not reconcile the financial statements to the supporting asset register, and some items ended up not being recorded in the asset register. One last issue that I would like to request is for the GPW to maybe give us a detailed report responding to the AG's findings, because there were instances where the Auditor General says that the GPW relied on an unreliable data to calculate the credit loss. And where I'm sitting, I'm asking myself, why should we as Parliament accept the financial statements, whereas there's no documentary evidence to the backup of some of the financial performances of GPW? Thank you very much, Chair. I'm sorry, it's like I'm catching flu.
Thank you, Honorable Lukwase, for your contributions and questions. Honorable Kanyile? Okay, let's pass on Honorable Ruos.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Straight off the bat, Chair, I'm a little bit confused, and maybe I can get some clarification. So this morning, the CEO of GPW told us that the power surge caused the EBA financial data system failure, and Mr. Van der Merwe confirmed that now. But it sounded to me like the minister was saying in the beginning that he was sure that this was not an accident. So I just want to get clarification on that. Is the minister saying that this data loss was not an accident? Or was he saying something else? I just want clarity on that. Chairperson, we've really hit rock bottom with GPW. In 2016 to 18, we had unqualified audits with findings, which is the second best. Then in 2018-19, we had a qualified audit opinion, which is one level down. The audit, or the disclaimer opinion we have now, is the lowest possible level that you have. So I'm a bit puzzled why Honorable Lakwasi congratulates the GPW on it, but perhaps it's because there is potentially a lower level, which is absolutely nothing, which is what we have with the 2020-21 financial statements. And so as the AG says, what we have here is gross negligence and incompetence with regards to financial records management and accounting standards. And so really my first question to the CEO, and here I agree with the Honorable Lakwasi, is why should Parliament accept these financial statements? If the AG's findings suggest that the GPW relied on unreliable data and there's no evidence to back up the financial performance, then my second question to the CEO is, why did you not have in place a simple offsite backup of absolutely critical data? And this project that we've been presented now to recover the data, what is the cost of this recovery project? Now, we have a new CFO, and welcome to the new CFO, but the accounting officer is the CEO. My question to the minister is, has the minister taken any actions against the CEO concerning the complete lack of financial record management in terms of the PFMA, apart from promoting her? Now, if we look at the review of the GPW organizational structure that was submitted for approval by the minister, this target has not been achieved for the second year in a row. And the same excuse has been given, that there's some late finalization of the business case. And I'm trying to understand, how can this late finalization of the business case take over 2 years? I think we need an explanation of that, Chairperson. My next question is about, and it's related to something we heard this morning about a concern that Home Affairs was unable to balance the number of visa papers issued with the number of visas issued. And my question to GPW is, what processes do you have in place to balance the security pages that you issue to subcontractors. So when you issue papers that, for example, might be used for printing vehicle licenses, how do you, is there an auditing mechanism where you say, I issue this many papers, this many licenses were printed by subcontractors, this many papers came back? Then some more technical questions to Mr. Fanamadva on the finances. So the cost of sales shot up in this financial year just under 20%, whereas the revenue went up 8%. So you said that the tariffs were constant on the revenue side and the input costs were increasing. But the input costs were consistent in the previous three financial years and suddenly soared. So what caused this, and how will you manage this in the future if your revenues are static and your costs are soaring? Then in terms of trade and other receivables, I'm just trying to understand, why are credit losses expected at all? My understanding is that it's the Department of Home Affairs and government or you know public sector that are the clients. So why do you have credit losses? And then in terms of the deferred income of 473 million, again, why is government paying for services that have not been rendered yet? Because chairperson, there's a knock-on effect. You know, if let's say Home Affairs, they said they didn't meet their revenue targets, and so expenditure wasn't made. If they are now paying in advance for services that haven't been rendered yet, why is this happening? Then there's a comment on the uptime of IT systems, where it is mentioned that the standard of 99.5% uptime is being reduced to 95.5%. And apparently this is the industry standard. So I'd like to know what industry standard that is, because Chair, there's a profound effect. The 99.5% uptime is 1.8 days down in a year, whereas 95.5% is 16 and a half days down. So that's an 8 times increase in downtime. And we've received complaints about the Government Gazette site being down regularly. And this is crucial to the functioning of the courts. So my question is, what is this industry standard? Because I don't believe it's acceptable. I want to understand what that industry standard is and how allowing 16 and a half days of downtime is going to affect things like the court system and other functions that rely on the Government Gazette, especially the e-Government Gazette. Thank you, Chairperson. That's all from me.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ross, for your contributions and questions. Honorable Molekwa. Okay, Honorable Pile.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. There's always a disadvantage when you're at the tail end of the speaking list. But with that said, I think the first part that I want to just ask is in terms of financial records, in what we've heard from the AG in the morning and even from now, is what is the time frame for that so that that process can be completed? Two is also then to just find out from GPW what is the contingency plan around this? Because yes, this has happened, but how are we going to deter it from happening again? And what is the contingency plan on that? But Chair, I want to move that the task team that's appointed by the minister to investigate. I want to move and propose that we get this presentation by the end of November. By the end of this month, and I think this will be certainly in keeping with what has also been requested by the AG in terms of their opinion. So I want to move, and I hope that will be supported, that the task team that's appointed to investigate present to us by the end of November. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pile, for your contributions. Honorable Mkwini. Okay, let's move on. Honorable Modise.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I think what's of concern for me, it's the AG's report that you would have received earlier in the meeting. I think we are all strongly feel that there are serious negative findings that have been highlighted in that report. And one cannot emphasize much, but to say that we need to urge the department or the entity to promptly develop a turnaround plan or strategy in order to address those issues. Some of those issues would have been non-submissions, your gross negligence. These are really serious findings, and they are really concerning. So would appreciate if the entity could also give us a progress report soon with regard to the turnaround plan that they would have or develop in order to address the issues. I also want to support the proposal by Honorable Pillay that all the task teams that were appointed by the minister must then appear in front of the committee and present to us all the reports so that we properly ground ourselves around the investigations that have been done. Chairperson, also, I think now that the CFO and the CEO have been appointed, the executive authority must then be exerted in order for the entity to be able to achieve an effective and an efficient governance. It's important that we now have an entity that has a leadership that is permanent and no longer that of acting. So the authority must then be strongly exerted. We need to take accountability from these executive authorities. And as we would have indicated earlier that that the AG's action plans must be implemented. And we as a committee also need to then do follow-ups on it and do regular checkups to make sure that the department does its work. Okay, I think the question that I would have would be around the data that is lost. Who will now be responsible to recapture that missing data? And how credible will that institution be if already identified? If not, what then is the plan around in making sure that the data that is lost is being recaptured and being kept safe? We note that the revenue collection of the entities is sound and is healthy. We appreciate that. The increase from 1.4 billion to 1.6 billion is recommendable, but it doesn't give one comfort, taking into consideration the report that we have received from the AG's report this morning. It makes one wonder that how is it that the entity is able to can keep a healthy financial systems, but they are unable to can make sure that they implement the proper financial controls and management. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mudise Mta, and all members for your contributions to the presentation around the governance and the financial position of government printing works. I think members have raised questions, the CFO and the CEO, and other questions have been comments have been directed to the minister. We're grounding our focus on the issues raised by the auditor general, and I'm sure the portfolio committee have been visiting, conducting oversight, and some of the issues are beginning to be highlighted by this independent body that contributed to your status of the governance. We're not happy in terms of the tone that was presented by the Auditor General, and we're going to take interest, Minister, around the posture that has been displayed by your colleagues, the entire team of government printing works. The tone raised by the Auditor General delegation in the morning. It raises discomfort and compel us as the members of the Portfolio Committee to put more attention on the work that has been done. You know the Minister, you've appointed various teams to investigate, including the hawks at a particular space. And we've now reached a point to interact with that progress report of the investigation, Minister. We're now holding you accountable to the standard operations of government printing work. So the members, in terms of their coherent, not coherent, but the coherent approach on the issues that are identified, we need accountability, Minister, and we need accountability from the government printing works on all the issues that have been identified. The last point that I think you are raising, that has been highlighted, is the continuous matter that has been briefed by the committee of your master plan building that has not been implemented. And I think we need a proper clarity, Minister, in terms of your discussion with the member of your colleague and the Department of Public Works in terms of what are the key obstacles, although you've highlighted, but what are the key obstacles? In the last meeting when we briefed about this matter, there was an indication of progress around these issues. The last point, I think the emphasis on the IT, which it came as the highlighted in the committee as a matter of concern, both from ourselves and yourself as a minister, which also compelled you to institute a team that must investigate around the loss of data that contributed to this financial, non-financial submission. And I think Honorable Modise correctly captured it on the credibility of this, the system that have been employed to recapture around that matter, whether they're credible, how safe would, can you confirm to the committee that this process will not be compromised in terms of the, and continue to contribute, and whether they've been tested to manage this recapturing process. I'm going to allow the team of the Government Printing Works, the CEO and your team to respond all the issues that have been presented, and allow the minister to also respond and make make comments on the issues. CEO?
Honorable Chairperson, thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm going to respond to the question together with the questions together with members of EXCO who are in the room. And I would like to believe that as questions were posed, they could place themselves on the specific questions that require a response. I realize that most of the questions are particularly coming to the finance branch, and we have officials that would actually assist with that response under the leadership of the CFO. And we have ICT-related questions. The CIO will actually take those. And I will just take a few. Chairperson, I think let me start by indicating that as GPW management, we are also quite worried by the tone of the AGSA report. And it would be remiss on our part to really sit and not do anything with that report. Despite the escalations that we've had, we realize that the report that the AG has given us is not painting a good picture of GPW, and as a result, we needed to do something about it. And as a result, we had taken the management report as well as the audit report that they have submitted to us in December the previous year, and we took out all the findings and incorporated them in our audit matrix that we referred to earlier, so that we can be able to start resolving them. And that's that. It's on that basis that Director Internal Audit indicated that over 50% of that has actually been achieved, and we're working towards resolving all of them by the end of the financial year. I've indicated
in my presentation that despite the challenges that we've had, including the escalation to AG, there is no evidence of malfeasance within GPW to date. We're just awaiting the outcome of the review panel so that we can be pointed to such areas. We have tabled investigations reports to EXCO previously on the financial matters, particularly irregular as well as fruitless expenditure, to check if there was evidence of that within the organization based on the previous audit reports as well. We have actually employed services of an independent law firm to help us investigate such and come up with recommendations so that consequence management can actually be exercised. From the AG side, we need to actually put it on the record that there was evidence, an evidence file that was put together and submitted. However, due to the disagreements which were there at the time, some of the evidence was not considered within the turnaround time. However, when we had a briefing session, we had acknowledged that the decision by AGSA stands, and as GPW, we shall go back and look into all the matters that they have raised. And we will then pull out the documents from that file and make sure that we address all the matters sufficiently. We're not happy with the outcome of the disclaimer, and we have put all the efforts in place to make sure that the good record that has been there before actually comes to be realized as well. And I need to also acknowledge that with the appointment of managers, and let me further confine my response to managers within finance in particular, and at the executive level of the organization, there is a concerted effort to try and pull together to rebuild the organization and make sure that we are really held accountable and responsible for the performance of GPW going forward. So we are putting plans together to ensure that. I need to pause here and ask the CFO, together with the team, to respond to all the finance-related questions. Then we will go to the CIO and then GM HR, as well as the acting GM operations chair in that order, through you. Thank you, CFO.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Jay. So let me address the first issue of the cost of sales of, and rightfully so, growth of 20% versus revenue of 8%. I think I clearly said that this is a direct result of bigger input costs that were incurred in the financial year. And I think I referred to issues of raw material of 118 million additional, salaries of 25 million and maintenance of 9 million. And that's just the nature of the business and the increases that we experience on an annual basis. The tariffs, as we said, we've kept consistent since 2017. And we've also recognized the fact that departments, and especially Home Affairs, as was reported this morning, has taken huge cuts in their budgets. And we're passing this, a further discount to them, instead of releasing those funds to the Home Affairs, we're passing on some discount. So it is possible that position might get slightly worse in the next two financial years, and our MTF budget reflects that. And we hope that in the 23-24 financial year to increase or to put through a tariff increase. The issue of trades and receivables and the issue of credit losses, effectively that comes down to a bad debt provision. And this has come about with the IFRS standard, and in particular IFRS standard number 9 that was implemented in the 19-20 financial year. And, there was some definite uncertainty in how to implement this. GPW got some advice. Reconciliation was made of the revenue, and this was presented to the AG. But keeping in mind that an experience, a credit loss is more a function of debtors and not of revenue. So the AG accepted the reconciliation of 18-19, they had difficulty in accepting the 19-20 reconciliation, although the difference came to about 17 million based on the 1.6 billion revenue. I think, Chair, this is some of the technical matters that I referred previously that we as GBW need to engage the AG more robustly on. And we have to increase our capacity in terms of technically understanding some of these standards, and hopefully going back to modified cash standards would assist with that. I think the member is correct that deferred income is definitely income received for a performance not yet rendered. This has got some historical background to it, as there were some funds received from National Treasury before. More recently, I think this has become a non-cash item on our depreciation allocation or depreciation calculations. But this would only also be used or could be applied in terms of our master plan going forward. But definitely, this is a matter that has got some history to it, funds received by National Treasury, and provisions for our depreciation. The issue of financial records, yes, we are going back and we are looking at the source documents, because obviously when the AG comes, they won't just look at your trial balance, but they would ask you for proper source documents. And these are the source documents that we are retrieving and we are capturing for now outside of the system, and that we will have to write a script for going forward. So the timeline of this is the one that we monitoring on a daily or weekly basis at least, to see how we can fast track that. As I said, we have employed some resources to assist with that, and we'll have some more resources allocated in the near future to do exactly that capturing. There was the issue of the asset register and the supporting documentations. We've come a long way in that, that we've uploaded the asset register to the AX system. As I said before, the proof of this is going to be in an audit process to determine the accuracy and completeness of that asset register. And we'll have to deal with the findings based on that. But we have requested as part of our assurances from in the audit to do an audit on that. Chair, the issue of, I can just talk quickly about briefly about the issue of the master plan and the business case. Fortunately or unfortunately, I'm coming in at a later stage. But I think I did make the point that for us to really implement this case or this master plan, we really need a proper facility capacity. And we have attempted, or we are building that capacity. And I think we've made quite a big move in the last week in terms of advertising a dedicated position for that. And I'm quite positive that when we get that capacity, we will be able to fast track this position or this situation from this point forward. I think I've covered all the finance ones, unless I've missed anything. Thank you, Chip.
Thank you very much, CFO, CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks, CFO. Can I request the CIO to take the ICT-related questions? Thank you, Chair, through you.
Okay, thank you very much. Good afternoon, Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, and the members of the Portfolio Committee. Chair, I will be taking questions around the issue of the data backup. The first issue that I wanted to address is that what we have done is that we have rebuilt our systems on a backup, on a back-end environment, which is referred to as the hyper-converged environment. That is a technology that gives assurance to data availability. Secondly, we also procured additional hardware space to ensure that we actually enhance the data storage backup environment, so that we can cater for data growth and for data scalability. Thirdly, we also running tapes, which is actually the traditional way of managing backups. So we are running daily backups We are also running weekly backups, and we're also running monthly backups. On monthly backups, Chair, we also do what we call it the testing of the backups, just to ensure then that the restoration of the data, is successful. Secondly, and thirdly, Chair, we have got two data environments at GPW. One, we have got one that is sitting at our Visage office, which is our core. Then we have got another environment that is sitting at Bosfan. So what we are also doing to give assurance in terms of data availability is that we are doing a replication data from one site to another so that we can give assurance in terms of if one site is down, we can actually point our servers to the other site so that we can have data availability. Also to mention, Chair, that we are also engaging CETA. Our long-term strategy in terms of the backup is that we want to migrate our systems to cloud in terms of the hot DR as well as the backup. As well, we are engaging in a technology roadmap just to ensure that we overhaul all the back-end infrastructure at GPW. That was a question that was asked by Honorable Khwase as well as Honorable in terms of the backup. Then on the issue, Chair, of standardization, in ICT, Chair, there are a couple of standards that you would employ in terms of your recovery time and your system availability. One you would have, for instance, what you call it COBIT, which is the Control of Information Technology. It's a standard that is worldwide and is also recognized by ISACA, also used by also Auditor General. As well as you've got another standard referred to as ITIL, which is the Information Technology Infrastructure Library. Basically, this is also an international standard that emphasizes on the critical role of people and processes relative to technology in terms of the delivery of high quality service. Now, how do we arrive then, Chair, to the percentage that has been highlighted? Chair, the 99.5% in terms of that standard is calculated on a percentage in terms of the service downtime. Now, what that means, Chair, is that that percentage indicates that over a period of a year, you would actually have got about 5 minutes and 0 seconds in terms of the downtime. So what it calculates is that the downtime per year is calculated over 4 hours and 0.3 hours, as well as what it provisions as well over a period of a month, it's 21 minutes, 0.56. The reason for this, Chair, is that you normally cater in IT for any unforeseen circumstances, one. Number two, you normally have got scheduled downtimes where you are doing your patches and your securities, which are actually catered under those provisions of time. However, our service level agreements is actually maintained in terms of the standard to ensure then that a business is not intercepted and is less interrupted as far as downtime is concerned. So that's why we have arrived in that. Chair, as I indicated, that our long-term strategy then is to move to a cloud technology. And once we do that, Chair will be able then to move back to a 100% system availability. The process of migrating a GPW environment to cloud is undergoing, and we are working closely with CETA so that we can be assisted. CETA has got a already infrastructure that has been provisioned, particularly for government, looking at issues around security and system availability. So it's a matter that we are engaging CETA with, and we'll also update the portfolio committee once the project is completed. I think those are the two issues that were raised around ICT, was on the backup and as well on the system availability. Thanks very much, Chairperson. Over to you.
Chairperson, thank you.
Yes, you can request if there's any delegation you have to do, Ms. Fosse.
Yes, the GMHR, I think there was a question on the organizational structure. So she will then respond to that. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, and the Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. Afternoon to CEO and DG and my fellow colleagues. The question that I have to respond to is the reason why there was a delay in the organizational structure, as it has been spoken about for quite a while. The process of the organizational structure, the review of the organizational structure, was actually an intense process that needed consultation and also for different leaders of within the organization to look into their manpower needs. And with the change that we encountered in leadership, that also caused about the delay, because when a particular person is sitting on a position, they've got a view of how they would want the structure to look like in their area and their understanding of the manpower needs. And upon when the person is and a new one comes in, also they've got a different view. So that also caused a challenge in terms of the delay. The other delay over and above the one that was caused by the change in leadership was our clear intention from the onset that we want to take DPSA on board from the beginning when we develop the structure, so that come the time when we do our actual submission, they have given their input, they are on board, and we've got a clear understanding, and if not a guarantee, that the structure will not be returned to be approved. So throughout the process, we also consulted with DHA over a period of sessions. They came in, they gave their input, and we incorporated their input. And right at the end, before the actual submission, we started the engagement with organized labor, because we saw that it was also an important part to be done, and it was also raised by organized labor that we need to engage with them. And yes, we had sessions with them where they gave their valuable input, which we considered, and we ultimately submitted the structure to the minister. The structure has since been approved in the minister's office and is with DPSA. And indeed, upon the receipt of the structure, DPSA has engaged us with two corrections that we have since submitted, and we are hopeful that in the next coming few weeks, we'll definitely get the approved structure back from DPSA. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CEO.
Okay, Chair, thanks. There was just one more question that Acting GM Operations on the issue of the visas that was asked that you would like to respond to as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. On the issue of visas, there was a question asked by Honorable Ross. Chairperson, the question was not very clear, but I think I can just deal with a few matters around it. We issue numbers each time there's a batch that needs to be produced for visas. So our production planning office will issue the numbers that need to be printed, and then when we print these visas will have then the numbers that have been issued. So for example, from 1 to a million. And so our quality checking processes would include the scanning mechanism that is built into the process that checks for any duplication of numbers. But also when we package, we do a check. So between the first number that we see packaged and the last number, then we'll be confident that the numbers that needed to be printed are all there, and also confident that there is no duplication. But obviously visas are printed internally and then will be given to, or rather delivered to, the Department of Home Affairs. And our understanding is so far the production has been on target as per the requests that have come through to us in terms of the production of visas. I think that's as far as I can go, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay. Chair, maybe from us, the last comment from the team, through you, I might request the chairperson of the audit committee, Dr. Tshepo Mofokeng, to just have his comment, and then I will just give two closing remarks from my side, and then we should be done. Thank you. Through you.
Proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Minister. Good afternoon, Deputy Minister, members of the committee, and the chair, and the leadership of GPW. I think the one thing I just wanted to speak about that he spoke about earlier, I think one of the members did allude, that I think GPW now is at its lowest in terms of the audit outcome. And Chair, I must just say that I think the main issue here that we're trying to work out with the AG's team is just the relationship, because I think we probably are here because of the relationship. So therefore, it's something that we had to reach out to the different sectors within the office as the audit committee when we became aware of these issues to try and find out how we can assist. And where we are sitting is that as much as there is evidence and there's a lot of things which have happened, as we've advised management one to fix the control system, but we are now happy now that we've got a full-time CEO and a full-time CFO, and we just have to then fill up some of the financial vacancies, and then it'll be easier then to actually get the seat turned around. It's not a complicated matter to turn around the qualification that we have currently when we look and assess this to the work that needs to be done. So we just need to be focused as a team and work hard and make sure that we've got all the evidence and we are done with the data cleansing and we've got the data that we need. And once that has been done, because the governance structure at GPW is quite strong, and we'll be able to get through this hurdle within a matter of a year or two. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. CEO.
Okay. Okay. I think from our side, to wrap up some of the more comments, and we take note of all the comments, and we'll make sure that we have a clear plan on making sure that all of those are addressed. But just a commitment from our side on the request that has been made, that we submit a detailed report based on the AG findings, to also clarify the issue of having issued the financial statements using unreliable data. And I think that document will address all that. Secondly, a turnaround plan that we're supposed to also develop to address all the findings. We undertake to do that, and we shall submit a detailed report to the committee as soon as we have developed it, but it should be within this month of November. Thank you, Chairperson. We appreciate all the inputs and the comments from members, and we'll make sure that we address all the concerns raised. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO, and all your team. Minister?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I need to respond to about three issues, if I'm not mistaken. The first issue, question from Honorable Ruos, that the CEO and the CFO have all confirmed about the accident that took place that led to the data loss and that led to this financial situation as described by Auditor General. And he was asking a question that the minister seemed to be thinking is not an accident. Chair, I want to respond by saying when an accident occurs on the road, it could be because it's something that was out of control of anybody. It may also occur because one of the drivers was drunk. It may also occur because the driver was speeding. It may also occur because somebody did something that they were not supposed to have done, leading to an accident. Or somebody did not do something that they were supposed to have done, leading to an accident. It is for that reason that I put up this team. If you look at the team, I didn't choose them at random. We've got lawyers there, experts in governance, experts in ICT, and we've got investigators, people who can deep dive and investigate things that you cannot see superficially. And I'm hoping they prove me wrong. But I chose that team because I believe something or somebody did something there which ought not to have been done. And that's the report I'm waiting for. Now, there is also a proposal by Honorable Pile, backed by Honorable Mudise Mche, that the task team must report by the end of November. They have promised me so. I don't know whether they've got a few more people to interview, including the past executives in government printing works. Once they finish that, they'll give the report. I'm hoping they'll meet the deadline by the end of November, but I don't have control over that one. Then there is an issue from Honorable Ruos about having to take action against the CFO, but instead promoting her. I want to disabuse Honorable Ruos to disabuse himself of the notion that some people get promoted. The CEO position is like a DG in government. The person who has been appointed was not promoted to that position. They applied for a job, interviewed by three ministers, the deputy minister, and a DG from another government department, subjected to a competency assessment by a private company, which gave a report which was submitted to the DPSA, vetted by the state security agency. All that information was taken to the cabinet, and all members of cabinet, including the president and deputy president, made this appointment. I don't know why that should be called a promotion. I want us to please use the correct terminology so as not to give wrong impressions. The issue of appointing permanent people, you are aware that in the executive in government printing works, we are left only with the issue of general manager for production, a post which you have already interviewed and finalized everything, but out of technicalities, the Department of Public Service and Administration rejected the appointment out of technicalities, and they said, we must start from the beginning. So we have re-advertised that post. We are going to start from the beginning, and after appointing that, I think we'll have a full complement of the executive. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister, for the responses, and thank you very much, the team at the Government Printing Works. Thanks very much from all members of the Portfolio Committee who have made a recommendation on how we must carry our work forward. And I think we're taking note on the issues that you've made commitment to. One is that we'll need, obviously, Minister, as per your task team terms of reference, a comprehensive report on all the task team that are grounded at Government Printing Works by end of November. At least present it yourself and therefore be invited to present in the committee led by yourself. We'll then able to also have the turnaround plan on the issues that have been raised by the auditor general. We must take responsibility and accountability, Minister, on the weaknesses that have been identified by the auditor general at the level of the government printing works. I want to take this opportunity, members, to appreciate time allocated and availability to interact with the report. We have agreed that after the IEC have presented their annual report, the committee will sit and deal, venture into the areas of concerns, particularly on the areas of government printing works, and therefore determine the course of action in terms of what the minister has to interface with at the level of the government printing works. And we've made commitment that we must interface with SCOPA as one of the oversight body to interface with the governance and the financial systems of our institutions. So we're going to take that course of action in terms of our oversight work and all the issues that have been identified. The CFO of Government Printing Works, I highlighted in the morning that you are taking note on the key issues that are raised within your unit and the CEO. I'm repeating again, Minister, that we're quite concerned on the tone of the Auditor General in the manner they've presented the strategic governance of the government printing works. And I think that is directly to the entire EXCO in terms of the issues that they've raised. We're going to take more interest to interface with that matter. And we'll appreciate that the plans that government printing works has to implore as a turnaround strategy to mitigate some of the issues that have been raised. We are going to follow them up. Thank you very much, members, in terms of your time allocated. And those that are not be able to get in due to the network and load shedding, We appreciate a lot for your presence to this meeting. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, CEO and your team and our other members. Mr. Matonsi, is there any announcement?
Chair, no, there's no announcement, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, all the team. The meeting stand agenda.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Member.
Recording stopped.
Thank you, Chair. The corner, I'm here.
I'm busy.
I love the network.
Sorry, my brother.
Okay.
Okay, sure.